Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 41 of Preparing for the Inevitable, a podcast on how to handle trouble, suffering, pain, and death. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast will help you get ready to face the inevitable, unpleasant things that will happen in your life. Things such as trouble, suffering, difficulty, sickness, pain, and death. The death of people you love and even your own death. Trouble, suffering, pain, and death are common threads that run throughout all of humanity. They are inescapable. Just this past week, 13 senior adults on a Bible study trip, their van was slammed into by a person who was texting. 13 souls went out into eternity, just like that. We're having their funerals now. You will never meet a person who has not, is not, or will not experience these terrible things in life. Yet we attempt to hide from these inevitabilities, and even when they happen, we pretend and try to run on like they didn't happen. We pretend they don't exist or that they won't happen to us. Oh, but they will. Our world is filled with news of people dying, children crying and suffering, entire governmental systems and organizations enduring trouble and turmoil. But we tend to see these as things that only happen to other people and never to us. Trouble, suffering, and death come equally to all people of all races, from every socioeconomic status, of every religion, in every country of the world, black, white, red, and yellow. And sometimes trouble comes double. It makes us all very equal, doesn't it? This podcast will show you how to accept these realities of life and not just cope with them, but face trouble, suffering, and death in your own life and in the world with confidence, courage, class, and most of all, with faith, hope, and charity. The Bible says in Genesis 25:8, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. The featured quote for this episode is a poem from James Whitcomb Riley titled, "He Is Not Dead." I cannot say, and I will not say, that he is dead. He is just away. With a cheery smile and a wave of the hand, he has wandered into an unknown land and left us dreaming how very fair it needs must be, since he lingers there. And you, oh you, who the wildest yearn for an old time step and the glad return, think of him faring on as dear in the love of there, as the love of here, think of him still as the same. I say he is not dead. He is just away. Beloved, our topic for today is titled The Christian Funeral Part 1. From the fine book, The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come by Rob Maul. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Art of Dying by Rob Maul. It is available on our website for just $20. What we do and what we say when someone dies is an expression of what we believe about life and how we want to live. The altars people create following the death of a movie, celebrity, or pop singer reveal who our culture worships. When people say that someone will live on in our hearts, they express their faith in a specific eternal destination. But not all expressions at death are filled with pop culture sentimentality. At the funeral of a longtime naval officer, I saw how our country, particularly our armed forces, views death. The funeral was a Christian service presided over by the deceased's thoughtful and well-spoken pastor. But while his Christian faith was the most important aspect of the man's life, he also spent a number of years in full-time and reserved naval service. During the graveside service, a handful of naval officers were present to offer thanks and pay their respects to a man who had served his country well. First, bugles saluted the soldier. A flag draped the coffin, and two soldiers picked it up and with military discipline folded it. They handed the flag to their superior officer, who then took it to the soldier's widow. The officer spoke loudly and clearly of the honorable service her husband gave and of the country's deep appreciation. He handed the flag to the widow, took her hand, and kissed her cheek. He then offered condolences one by one to every member of the family. Watching this, it struck me how solemnly the military considers the death of a serviceman or woman. Their words and actions at a funeral speak of a great appreciation for the sacrifice made, which often cuts lives short, and they are thankful for it as a duty to the country and to those who are able to live without having to sacrifice their lives. Christian funerals say just as much about our beliefs regarding life, death, and salvation. A funeral is the church's opportunity to express those beliefs, to tell the story of the gospel and tie it into the life of the deceased and those gathered to worship. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Holy Father God, help us to do the Christian funeral right each and every time, one that honors you and shares the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, please understand that after you die, you will be ushered into one of two places to spend eternity, heaven or hell. Here's how you can be sure that you will not go to hell and suffer eternal damnation forever, and rather have a home in heaven when you die. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, I am the chief of sinners, so don't think that you're alone. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fourth, accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Fifth, accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. With these truths in mind, dear friend, please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul this very moment, and he will. The Bible states in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul from sin and hell and change my life today and forever. Amen. Beloved, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have indeed done the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Remember, dear friend, believe by faith, share the faith, and keep the faith. God bless you.